please. It is so good again to see you this morning. We're glad you're here. If you're visiting with us, we especially welcome you. We want you to feel at home. And children, if you want to go to Children's Church, you go with Miss Sarah. And the Children's Church is in the next building. You can stay here if you want to. But we are just glad to have you here today. We want you to feel at home and welcome. And we have a gift that we'd like to give you. If you'll see me after church this morning at this little table out here, I'll give that to you. And we're just so thankful that you're here. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17. All this month, we're talking on Sundays about giving thanks. And no matter what's going on in your life, which we all have stuff going on, we all have problems, we all have struggles, we all have, you know, problems. And yet, no matter what problems you have in your life, no matter what you're going through, you have things to be thankful for. No matter how bad things may seem, you have much to be thankful for. And so often, though, what do we put our focus on? Don't we put our focus on the bad stuff? And the things that are hurting us and things that we struggle with. Isn't that what we spend most of our time thinking about? And what happens when we do that? We get depressed and we get discouraged. But when we're mindful of all the blessings that we have, and when we say, you know, Lord, I thank you for just being God. I thank you for the blessings I have in my life. And you start naming those blessings, whether it's family, whether it's your job, whether it's your health or bad health, but it could be worse, or whether it's giving thanks that you have dirty dishes in the sink because it means that you had food to put on those dishes. Listen, when we take time to give thanks and realize how blessed we are, the world gets a little bit lighter for us. And we're mindful that as dark as the days may be, and no matter how hard things might be, we're going to make it to the other side. Better and stronger. Because God is faithful to us. You see, everything that you go through, God goes through with you. And so the Bible says, and God gives us the promise that He never leaves us and never forsakes us, that He's always there with us. So even in the midst of sickness and different things, we know that God is always there with us. This morning we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 17 where there's 10 lepers who come to Jesus and cry out for Him to do something about the disease that they have. And we'll see what Jesus did and how that story plays out. So Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, they passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And so when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his," meaning Jesus' "feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" What a great story. For us to understand that in 2020, we've got to put some context to what was going on. Leprosy at that time was a very serious, debilitating disease. And it was very contagious. And so you can go back and you can read the Old Testament. It talks about if you had leprosy, what you had to do. And one of the things they had to do was they had to stay away from everybody else. In fact, there were leper colonies that comes from that they had to go outside of town to live. They were kind of outcasts. Nobody wanted to be around them. And when they did go to town, they had to walk with their arms and they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so that nobody would go near them. And while that seems cruel, the reason for that was because they wanted to make sure nobody else got sick. And so these lepers happened to come up to Jesus. And remember, nobody wanted anything to do with leopards. Lepers, not leopards. Nobody, they didn't, you know, they were unclean. And when they were healed, before they could go back into society and, you know, kind of reacclimate themselves, they had to go and show themselves to the priest, and the priest would declare them to be clean, and then there were some ceremonial things that they did, and then they were brought back into, you know, the community. And so they come up to Jesus and say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." He didn't say, "You're healed." He didn't say, "Okay, I'll give you what you want." He simply said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Well, when did lepers go and see the priest? When they were healed. And so it was kind of a strange thing. And yet these men did, all 10 of them did. And Luke tells us that as they were going, they were healed. Now, leprosy was a disease. When you had it, your skin got splotchy and had white blobs all over it. So you definitely tell, kind of like we, in our context, we think about chicken pox. You can tell when somebody has chicken pox, you know it, because they got red blotches everywhere. You can see it. And that's the way leprosy was. So they had these splotches all over them, and then as they were walking, all of a sudden those spots went away. They were healed. And one came back and thanked the Lord. So what do we find in that story? Well, I'm glad you asked because I want to tell you. What is it that these guys' journey, and what can it mean for our journey as we walk with the Lord? How were their lives changed? How did they go from outcast to Jesus saying, "Your faith has made you whole, go"? Well, the first is that it starts with recognizing our need. And that's the first thing that I want us to see along in this journey, is that these 10 lepers recognized their need. That they had this condition and they needed something done about it. And so when they, you realize you can't be made well until you recognize that you're sick. Until you say, "You know what, there's something wrong and I need to do something about it," you're never going to get over it. You're never going to conquer whatever problem it might be, whether it's illness or family or whatever it might be. You know, some say, "Well, I'll just ignore it and it'll go away." Guess what? It never, ever does. And in fact, the longer we let it fester and stew, the bigger and more severe it gets. We're in flu season. We've got this coronavirus going on. But you know something about the flu? If you go to the doctor a day or so from when you first get symptoms, guess what? There's a medicine they can give you, and you get better pretty quick. But guess what happens? You say, "I'm tough. I don't need no doctor. I don't need no medicine." That flu could go away on its own, but probably most likely what's going to happen is that pneumonia is going to set in. you're going to get pneumonia. Not just the flu, but pneumonia. And a heap of other problems. And your body will just start shutting down. Most people that die from the flu die because, not from the flu, but from pneumonia or heart conditions, because they didn't go to the doctor and get it taken care of. You see, just like going to the doctor and when we're sick and getting taken care of so we can get better and get well, there are times in our life when we have issues. The number one problem anyone in this world has is being separated from God by sin and being under the curse of sin. The Bible says the curse of sin is death, and we see that all around our world. And you know what? There's an answer to sin. There's a vaccine, if you will, to it. And you know what it is? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the one that can do something about our problems. But the Bible also says, if we don't go to Him in times of need, we don't ask for help, guess what? We're not going to find it. He mentioned to his disciples, he said, you have not because you ask not. You see, until we recognize our need, we're never going to be able to overcome it. But once we recognize it and are willing to face it and say, you know what, there's something wrong, I better do something about it, then we can do something about it and we can address it. So it starts with recognizing our need. But just recognizing our need doesn't fix the problem, does it? Second thing we have to do, not it starts with recognizing our need, but it continues with a plea and obedience. You see, after we realize there's this problem, we have to be willing to do something about it. What did these lepers, 10 of them, what did they do when they saw Jesus and they knew who He was? The word had spread about all the things that Jesus was doing. These lepers knew that this was this Jesus fellow everybody was talking about. And so they came up, which was against the law. They weren't supposed to do that. And they got close enough to Jesus that they could speak to Him, and they said, Lord, Master, have mercy on us. And so they issued this plea. And Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. You see, this is something we misunderstand about God's power and His healing in our life. Jesus has the power to heal anything. He has the power to help us overcome anything that we face in life. But the way we want Him to do it is just for Him to zap us with some kind of magic lightning bolt or something and it be done. But you know what? That's usually not the way He works. Sometimes He does. Sometimes God can heal or fix problems and situations instantaneously. Most of the time, that's not the way He works, though. Most of the time, He works by us doing something. So, recognizing our need, but then coming to God and asking Him for help, that's the start. But here's where it gets tricky. The tricky and the hard part is doing what God tells us to do. Because we can't see it. The lepers, when they turned around and they started walking, they still had splotches all over them. They were a hot mess. But they turned around and they started walking to God's house. And as they were walking, and by the way, I don't think it was the first step that they were healed. I don't think it was even the first block that they walked. But as they journeyed toward God's house, their skin became whole. The splotches and those sores disappeared. Why? Because they had faith. They took that, they walked and headed toward the priest who they... You only went to the priest when you had leprosy after you had been healed and you were better, and they would go and look you over and make sure you didn't have any splotches and that you actually were healed, that the disease had, you know, gone out of you. But they walked with the splotches. And they walked and they walked, and eventually those splotches went away. And they were made whole. They were made whole because of their obedience. Could Jesus have just said, "Hey, you're healed," and they were better right then, right in front of him? Absolutely, he could have. But again, that's not usually the way that he works. Because he wants us to understand that our healing and the power that God has comes by faith in him. Not faith in ourselves, not being able to see results, not being able, you know, having concrete data, but by walking by faith. In the Old Testament, we think of a story where Naaman had to dip himself in the pool 7 times. And then on that 7th time, he came up, he was healed. Lots of examples in the Old and the New Testament about that. But there's some practical application to it. So often we do recognize our need. We recognize, hey, there's this problem in my life. Maybe it's a spiritual problem, and that's the most important thing in our life that we have to get fixed. And once we get that relationship with God fixed, the other parts of our life begin to fall in place and get better as well. But until we get our relationship with God fixed, nothing's going to get better. But it's not just enough recognizing that we need God in my life, in our life. I meet a lot of people. And usually when they find out I'm a preacher, I guess to cut off the spirit, so they say, "Preacher, I know I need to be in church. You don't even have to tell me." Well, that tells me what? It tells me they're not in church. But it also tells me that they know they should be. Now, are you saved because you go to church? Absolutely not. But I tell you that coming to church and being part of a local church makes your life better, not worse. You're better for coming to church. But you're not saved because you come to church. We come to church because we are saved, or because we're searching for God. So we have to recognize our need. We have to say, "You know what, God, I know." We have to recognize our need. And then we have to recognize and admit that we can't fix it. But we know somebody that can. And we have to ask the Lord. We have to invite him. Sometimes I wonder why God does the things the way he does. And that reminds me, I'm not God, he is. Because I don't understand him. If you think you understand God, then you're in trouble. But son, as a God, it would be so much easier if you just make it clearer. God, if you would just work instantaneously, it would be a whole lot better. Lord, if you would just make people do what's right, man, it would be very nice. It'd be nice, Lord. Just make them do it. And God does have the power to do it. But guess what? Most of the time, he doesn't, because he wants us to make the choice ourselves. He doesn't make us robots. He gives us the ability to choose our own paths, and he gives us the ability to choose the path either toward God or away from God. We can choose that, and he'll let us choose either path. But if we say, "God, please come in this situation and help me with this," then we have to be willing to do what God says. Just when you're sick, there's very few medicines that taste good. most of them are disgusting. I get cold sometimes and sinus trouble, and I'll take NyQuil. Is the most is nasty. And when I drink that, I bang my foot, and you know, why do I do that? But then, you know what, I sleep through the night good, and you know, that medicine helps me get better. Tablets, if you take tablets, most of them have a yucky taste to them, don't they? But you know what? When you take that medicine, no matter how bad it tastes, and you let it get in you and it does its job, what happens? Most of the time you get better, don't you? Sometimes God asks you to do things that are not pleasant. Sometimes we've made a mess of our life and we come and we say, God, clean this mess up. And when we say that to God, guess what? He doesn't just take a magic Mr. Clean wipe, you know, and over our life. He says, all right, your life is a mess and I do want to help you fix it, but guess what? You're going to have to do some stuff to help fix it. Maybe there's relationships that you've injured because of your actions that you may have to go and apologize and make things right. It may be that, I don't know, you've stolen something, you have to make amends for it, you have to replace it. Or sometimes those things are not fun. But can I tell you, they're worthwhile. Because when you've done that hard work, things do get a lot better. It may be going to having a conversation with somebody that you've hurt and ask them to forgive you. They may not forgive you. They say, you know what? You're a no good skunk face. Get out of here. And they may not, but you know what? You feel bad because you have done what you could to make things right, and you're not carrying around that guilt anymore. You're set free from that bondage. And so guess what? Because you were obedient, that bondage is gone. And so, and God says, you know what? He may tell you, give you direction on doing certain things. Go and see the priest. And you may have to walk a while. Well, walk, knowing that God is walking, and He's working. We need to understand and be okay with the fact that sometimes our healings and the fixings of our problems don't come overnight. The truth is, most of the time, the problems that we have in life weren't created overnight, and they're not going to be fixed overnight. But if we allow God to work in our life, and we'll obey Him, things will start being put back together. And things will get better. And so, it is obedience. What does the Scripture say in the Old Testament? What did God say to the priest Samuel when he went? And so, have I asked for offerings and sacrifices and this blood that you... And the answer was yes. But you remember God says, I delight more in a contrite, obedient heart than in all the sacrifices in the world. Jesus says to trust and obey is better than the sacrifice. In the nation of Israel, they would offer sacrifices and offer sacrifices. But then, once they left the temple, they were back to their old ways. Guess what happened? Their lives began to get worse and worse and worse, and they began to get further and further away from God. Why? They were going to temple. They were bringing the sacrifices. But their heart wasn't in it. And so, change didn't come. But these 10 lepers found healing because they obeyed God. But then I want you to notice how the journey ends. It finishes with giving thanks and praise. 10 were healed. I think all 10 of them were healed on that road. All 10 of them, their skin. One of them, if we think about it, really disobeyed what Jesus said in spirit, because he took a detour. Because he ran back to where Jesus was. He found Jesus. He was praising God and then ran and found Jesus and fell at Jesus' feet and worshiped him and said, "Thank you for healing me." And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Weren't there 10 of you? Where's the other 9? He said, "Your faith has made you whole. Go on home." So the others probably did what Jesus said. So we can't badmouth them too bad, because they were probably doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. We're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But this one said, "You know what? It's more important for me to give God glory and thanks. I have to do that first before I go to the priest and let him inspect me and declare me to be clean." And by the way, when Jesus Christ has declared you clean, it doesn't matter what any man says. And so they really didn't need the priest's permission or the priest's declaration. So Jesus said to this one that came back and gave thanks and praise to the Lord, "You don't need to bother going to the temple. Go home. Your faith has made you whole." Now, maybe the other 9 came back later and found Jesus. I tend to think they probably didn't. But I think these 10 lepers remind us of the importance of giving God praise and giving God thanks. And I think that's so much more important than our actions. Now, our words need to match our actions, and our actions need to match our words. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. But you know what? Far too often, especially when we're going through hard times, we don't give much praise, do we? Well, the thing is, though, that our life just does not have one problem. You don't just overcome one problem and then it's smooth sailing for the rest of your life. We all know that. When you come through one storm, guess what's going to happen? Yeah, there'll be a day or two of quiet, but there's another storm coming eventually. And if you've not taken time to thank God for getting you through the storm that you just came through, chances are you'll forget to look to Him when that second storm comes. So these men's the journey to being made whole and to say, you know, thanking God and being a thankful person is giving thanks and praising God. Listen, the truth of the matter is this: no matter how good you think you might be, and no matter how good you are, how much any of you or I do for God, you have not arrived yet. Hopefully, though, you're not as broken and not in bad condition as you once were. And you know what? It's easy to say, you know what? I'm not what I ought to be. Well, let's never forget to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm also not what I used to be. Satan often will try to defeat, and he does defeat a lot of people by reminding them of their past and reminding them of the struggles that they have in life and trying to do everything he can to keep them from God. But let me tell you something. We have the end of the book. Satan is defeated. He's a dog that's got a loud bark but no teeth. He can't bite you. Because Jesus kicked his teeth out on Easter morning. But he still has a loud bark. And he still tries to keep our eyes off of the Lord and what the Lord has done in our life. And I tell you that when Satan succeeds in getting us to forget what God has done in our life, we are headed for trouble. But if we'll keep ever before us and we'll constantly remind ourselves by giving God thanks. You know, they're good practice also to have. We at Thanksgiving, a lot of times in families before we eat, we have to go around and say something, you know, we're thankful for. We really should do that every day, not just on Thanksgiving. And should we do it in our prayer time? Yeah, we ought to do it in our prayer time and thank God and praise Him for what He's done for us. But can I tell you, we ought to do it at the supper table too. And we ought to do it at the golf course, and we ought to do it at the football stadium on Friday nights. Everywhere we go, we ought to be constantly reminding ourselves and reminding others of God's faithfulness. And here's the reason why. If God has been faithful to you, and God has cleansed you, and God has helped you, guess what? He can help that person going through what you just went through. And by you being thankful and keeping that in front of you, when somebody comes around and say, man, I've just got this person. You say, you know what? I had that same deal. But I gave it to God. And I met a man named Jesus Christ, and he changed my life. And that problem got solved. Not by my might, not by my power, but by God's Spirit. By God working, but God fixed it. And can I tell you, God's a lot better fixer than any of you are. Some of you can use a saw pretty well, and you can swing a hammer, you can paint a brush. You can't touch the handiwork of the Lord. So when you have a problem, don't you want the very best person? You want somebody that's an expert. You don't want a novice as your doctor if you're in the emergency room with a heart attack. You don't want somebody that just graduated from medical school yesterday. You want the guy that looks like he and Moses went to school together. And he has been around the block more than a time or two. Because he knows what he's doing. Well, can I tell you, God's been around the block a time or two. And there's no problem and there's no situation in your life that God hasn't seen before. Unless you think that God would be surprised and say, oh, if God knew what's going on in my life, He wouldn't love me. He could. Nah. Can I tell you, He knows it already. You can't hide anything from Him. He's like a mama. You got eyes in the back of their head and they know what you're doing before you even think about doing it sometimes. Growing up, my mom would say, Aaron, Jason, what are you two doing? Nothing. Well, we were doing something, but the always answer was no. How did mom know? When I tell you that God's much more insightful than any mama. He knows already, and He loves you. And says, come to me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. But hey, the journey is not just, it begins by recognizing our need. Then it continues by us coming to somebody that can do something about the problem we have and doing what He says to do about it. Going to the doctor because you got the flu doesn't do you a bit of good if you don't take the medicine that He gives you. And so we obey, but then it ends. We have to make sure. It ends by us giving praise and thanks to God, saying, God, thank you for bringing me through that. And by the way, friend, we need to even give God thanks when He brings us through something differently than what we thought He should. You know, I've known people that have had cancer, and we've prayed for God to heal them. And sometimes he heals them here on earth. He uses medicine. Sometimes he just touches them, and tumors that were there are no longer there. And we praise God for that, but can I tell you, we also should praise God when God heals them by bringing them home to eternity. Because in eternity, there's no cancer, and there's no tumors, and there's the power of that tumor has no power anymore. And I tell you this, just as much a healing as if God were to do it here on earth. Now, would we rather that our loved one was healed on earth and we still have, yeah, we will, that's what we would rather. But sometimes God brings healings other way. And God, sometimes God works ways that we don't understand. But here's something I've found in my life, and many of you probably found true to be in your life. God knows a lot better than I do. There have been a lot of times I've been mad at God. I said, God, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you do what I wanted to do there? Only to find out 4 or 5, 10 years down the road, to have to go and say, God, you know what? I sure am glad you didn't do what I wanted you to do. Because you had something better, because you know what's best. God always knows what's best. So friends, you need to recognize your need. You need to know that God is concerned about your need and can do something about it no matter what it is. But you have to be willing to take the medicine. You have to be willing to do what he says. You have to be willing to fix it his way. And then remember to give him thanks for it. And I tell you, if you're going through a storm in your life right now and you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, that's the first thing you need to do. Is accept. He knows all about you. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he says, I love you, and I'll save you. I'll have mercy on you. He's already declared that. But the thing is that we have to receive that gift. Just like next month we'll have Christmas, and maybe some of you will get some gifts. Somebody will buy that gift for you. In order for you to have that gift, what do you have to do? You have to take it and open it and use it. And friend, our salvation is that same way. Maybe here you're saved, but you know what? There's something going on in your life. You know what? No matter what it is, I can tell you, God's concerned about it, and God can do something about it if you'll let it. So maybe today you need to say, God, you know what? I've been trying to fix this on my own, and I've made a horrible mess of it. So would you come and would you fix it? Would you help me to clean this mess up? And can I tell you, he will. I guarantee it. Let's stand together this morning. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for your goodness and your love. We thank you that you receive us just as we are. And Lord, you love us just as we are, but you are not content to leave us as you find us. Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life and what you're doing in my life. And Lord, as I mentioned, you know, I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be, praise God. God, there's one here today that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin. Today, might you help them to come to know you as Lord and Savior, to receive that free gift of salvation by simply recognizing their need and calling out to you and receiving that great gift. But Lord, maybe there's one here today that's going through a storm, maybe with family members or jobs or a spiritual condition or whatever it might be, but they're battling, Lord. Lord, help them realize that fighting the battle on their own is a losing cause. But with you, all things are possible. Would you help them to turn that battle over to you, to say, Lord, you fight this battle for me. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. We're going to sing the old hymn, Just As I Am, just a verse or two. If God spoke to your heart and there's a decision you need to make today, this would be a good time to make that decision.